This episode is brought to you by North Texas Honda Dealers. North Texas Honda Dealers, they're here to help.
He has time, launches it to the end zone. Touchdown, Terrence Williams!
The throw goes to the right side for Crabtree. It's caught. He's the Red Raider!
Bloody at the 10. What's he up the right sideline?
Yeah, he's got to go. He's tackled. Sam Houston wins it. The Bearcats capture their first FCS champion.
To the Republic of Football show that's been glued to their phones since about Sunday afternoon-ish when our first head coaching news kind of dropped for the season. I'm your host, Ishmael Johnson, the assistant managing editor here at Dave Campbell's Texas Football. Right next to me is somebody, the other person who was glued to their phone and is still glued to their phone, a college insider, Mike Craven. Mike, what's up, man?
Doing pretty good, trying to be Adam Schefter
now.
maybe taking some text messages and calls during the show. Who knows?
Right.
The off season is the season.
Yeah,
and we're into that mode. So it's actually the time where it probably gets busy. The season's kind of a break,
right?
You know, and then it gets real big right now because all not even just the head coaches, assistant coaches, everybody's jockeying for new jobs, seeing what's out there, what's opening up, and so it's a fun time to be in this business.
Yep, exactly. We will get into the latest of what we're hearing from the Texas State head coaching search. But of course, making sure you can hear us and see us pretty well over there is Mallory Hartley. Mallory, how are you?
Good. Good to be here.
Good.
As always. What was that? No, what?
I moved my drink.
That scared me. Well, I was like, golly.
Oh, do you think something
you can't,
like collapsed?
Hey, I've got my Dr. Pepper here too, yeah. So it's a
well,
it's
my
a
straw was
this
sticking up
year.
Into the video. I didn't want Rhett Lashley yelling at me for having a straw on camera. So.
Oh my gosh!
Oh my god! Yeah, our number one fan, Rhett Lashley.
That's hilarious. Yeah.
Not a straw guy.
Not a straw guy.
That's I forgot about that. Yeah, that's great. Anyway, so like we mentioned, you know, we're me and Mike Craven. This is like a unique situation for me because usually I'm not involved in a coaching search, but obviously being a former beat writer, being an alum of Texas State, I do still have some connections there. And so I've been, you know, me and Craven have been kind of tag teaming this a little bit, this news. And I guess the latest, what we can more or less confirm is that this feels like a two-man race.
Yep. Yeah, Kev put out a report of that earlier today, and I mean, I think I'm hearing the exact same stuff. I think you're hearing the exact same stuff.
I am too.
This felt like a three-man race from the very beginning. Mm-hmm. It was G.J. Kinney, Casey Keeler, Eric Morris. I think it's assumed that Kinney's going to get a quote-unquote better job.
Sure.
You know, whether Tulsa is a better job than Texas State or not may be debatable, but he played quarterback there. That's his alma mater. That makes sense. The American, you know, a little bit more money than the Sun Belt. So, mm-hmm. So I get that one. So it does feel like it's a two-man race between Sam Houston head coach Casey Keeler and Washington State offensive coordinator Eric Morris, who, of course, was the head coach at Incarnate Word for 4 years before this past season. And I think both of those guys would be great hires. I think I could make arguments on why each one of them would be better than the other. And
sure.
If you're Texas State, it does feel like you're in a position to land. You're gonna get a good grade either way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like either of these guys is going to be good for your program, probably a step in the right direction. And so I would be surprised if this thing lingers into the weekend. I would think by Friday afternoon, Saturday, we know who's the head coach is going
to
be.
I was about to say the speed at which this materialized, right? Immediately we heard three names come to the surface. We heard some other peripheral names, right? You check the article we have where Mike's been updating kind of. Let's just put it this way. The article that he's been updating with candidates is a mix of people we think will be good, but also names that we've heard from people, right? So there are names that are in there that maybe haven't been publicly acknowledged or things like that, but we've heard were at least contacted or at least in the dossier, I guess you can say. But more or less, it pretty quickly narrowed down to those three, and then quickly as Tulsa opened up, it became more presumptive, probably more on Texas State's end, that, you know, G.J. Kinney probably wouldn't. If it came down to the two, it's hard to – you never want to be the one that's rejected, right?
And he's going to listen to offers.
Yes.
And Texas State wants this to get done.
Yes.
And he's still in the playoffs.
Right. And you never want – and like I said, you never want to be rejected.
Right.
You never want to be the one that's like – they offered G.J. Kinney and he turned it down for Tulsa, right? You never want that to happen. So they took themselves more or less out of that situation. And now, yeah, it's down to two very capable, very interesting, different and different candidates too. Right?
Yes, they are.
Different. And so I think, like you mentioned, this is going to get done pretty quickly. Texas, everybody I've heard, right, except for ironically, I mean, not ironically, Texas State's obviously not going to say anything, right? A lot of like they're the ones doing the search, mm-hmm. but talking around the program and talking to people we know, they have been contacted, right? Those two have been contacted. And they've been transparent, right, about as transparent and clear as, like, these are the two guys, yeah. right, basically. And so I think that's something that's been kind of refreshing because typically you see, like, smoke screens kind of everywhere, and typically you see a bunch of people, like, oh, well, I don't know, they're this guy over here, and you throw, like, six names out there. Right. Like, I remember when I was covering the Jake Spavital, when they originally hired Jake Spavital, like seven names came across. Right. You're like, who's really involved?
Because they're floating it.
Right, exactly.
They're trying to see what the reaction's going to be.
Exactly. And one name that did float out that I'm so happy that did not float around this time was Kendall Briles. I'm so sorry. I will say that right now. One name that floated out when Jake Spavital was hired was Kendall Briles. Immediately got shot down by the entire fan base, and that name went away very quickly. Yeah. So I was very happy that did not happen this time. But yeah, so there have been names floated around, but nothing solid outside of these two. And so I think, like you mentioned, this will be pretty good. So, you know, keep it tuned to us, TexasFootball.com. Mike Craven will have everything ready to go. As soon as we hear something, as soon as we have something solid, you know, this is moving fast. We're trying to move fast with it, and we'll be updating you because, early signing period's coming up, and Texas State has a bunch of players entering the portal. So
yeah, portal opens Friday for business. November 5th is when that opens for business. They want to have somebody December 5th, I'm sorry. They want to have somebody in there by then. I'm trying to see what date December 5th is. So that's next month. That's next Monday.
Wow. Yeah.
You know?
So I was about to say, they want to have somebody in. That's why you're seeing.
They want to have somebody in the chair.
Yes.
Introduce, press conference,
talking
all that
to people who are maybe announce they're entering the portal, trying to bring them back, right? Because you got to recruit the team again, basically, and then see what they can do on their own. So, we'll be in touch. We'll be all over that because, we presumably got about three more days, ideally, if Texas State has their calendar right. We got about three more days of this search. So,
Speaking of Kendall Briles.
Oh, man. Speaking of unfortunate coordinator hires also. Texas A&M is in the market for a new offensive coordinator, firing Daryl Dickey, who, I don't know, kind of like offensive coordinator asterisk.
Yeah.
Because, like, it's Jimbo Fisher's offense. It's Jimbo Fisher's play calls. It's Jimbo Fisher's game planning.
It's just like a dummy. It's a test dummy. Like, it's just kind of there. He's not going to do anything.
Don't get me wrong.
He's an assistant to the regional manager.
Right, yes. Don't get me wrong. I understand Daryl Dickey
That is what it is.
I understand Daryl Dickey does some stuff, right?
100%.
He was a very accomplished head coach in North Texas, right?
Awesome dude.
Yeah, awesome dude. It's Jimbo Fisher's offense. Nobody was looking at Daryl Dickey and saying, why is Daryl Dickey's offense not running well?
Right, 100%.
Assistant to the
and so
manager.
Mike Craven put out an article because this presumably opens a door for Jimbo Fisher to have an outside voice in, right?
Potentially.
Presumably.
Mm-hmm. Potentially.
Potentially. So Mike Craven threw together some options.
Yep.
Jimbo
some
Fisher.
Realistic, some probably not.
Yeah. Jimbo Fisher hasn't given us a call on this podcast yet, but we're hoping that he takes a look at Mike Craven's recommendations.
Yeah.
Because we think we can help fix some of this.
I'm here to help.
Yeah, exactly.
We need to hop on. Like,
that's why he needs to call us.
It's one of my off-season goals.
Get him on the podcast.
Yeah.
Finally,
it's gonna happen. Even if I gotta walk into it,
I will guarantee you this.
Like 2020, when he's walking to his truck outside, you know, like, hey, coach, right. I gotta go quick, you know.
I guarantee you, we will have the new Texas State head coach on twice before we have Jimbo Fisher on again.
We might have already had him on a couple times.
I know.
That's possible.
Good point.
That's great. So, Mike, let's talk about this article a little bit. You can go check it out on TexasFootball.com for all of his reasonings on all the guys. But let's also talk about why maybe some of those guys aren't going to be the answer.
Right.
This is Mike Craven will do a little bit of insight and reporting into what he's hearing.
So I put together that list, you know, because those lists do well, you know, for the most part. And I think some of them are really like Garrett Riley, I think would be an excellent hire. Mm-hmm. You know, A&M can afford him. They can pry him from TCU, who's about to play, you know, for Big 12 championship college football playoff. I think that would be a really smart hire. I think Joe Brady, trying to get him back into the college ranks and giving him the keys to the castle and just saying, hey, Buffalo Bills QB coach.
Oh, okay. That's a good job.
And so, you know, get him back in there. You know, I think even somebody like Tom Herman, if he misses on, you know, head Colorado coaching jobs around around the country, or, you know, if he thinks the OC job at A&M gets him a quicker path to a big-time FBS job more so than Colorado or something like that. I think those are names to look around. But what I found interesting was when I put out that story, I had three or four coaches, a couple head coaches, a couple assistants on offense across the state, reach out to me and say essentially the same thing, and that is no way, no how. That none of those guys on the list will get hired or get approached because Jimbo Fisher is simply not going to give up the offensive play calling duties the same way that Gary Patterson had a really hard time giving up defensive play calling duties at TCU. He hired a new DC to quote unquote be the guy. But one of the running jokes in college football would be Gary Patterson would come back from second half in a different colored shirt.
Right.
Because he would take
call
over
plays.
Play calling duties because he was upset about how it went in the first half. And so I think the storyline here, as much as it is about who he hires as Jimbo Fisher as his OC, is what he hires as his OC. Is it really going to be a guy who he lets come in and have autonomy? Or is it going to be a guy who comes in and just adds some principles and is kind of a secondary eye, secondary ear?
Sure.
But somebody who does not have, you know, carte blanche to just do whatever they want and call plays and however they want to. I think I lean more towards that. I think I lean more towards Jimbo not being able to do that.
Right.
Or not wanting to do that because he's making $86 million guaranteed either way, and why not go down with the ship the way you want to go down with
right,
it?
Right, I was about to say, this is my boat, right? I'm the captain, and you paid me this much to be the captain and be this. And, like,
you
I understand.
Beat LSU.
Exactly, and I understand. Like, I understand you beat LSU, you almost beat Alabama. Like, you know, I'm doing it right. And I understand – obviously, if you're A&M fans, right, because you're seeing what he does well in terms of recruiting and just building the thing, but then you see obviously what he's not doing well, and it's like that's what's holding you back. Now, I'm going to read some of his coordinators through his tenure at – offensive coordinators through his tenure at Florida State. See if any of these names strike fear, right, into like, ooh, that guy. Randy Sanders, Lawrence Dossey. You into the prolific modern coordinators yet?
You could be making up names at this moment. You should mix in just a few made-up names and see if anybody even like.
Right, I know. Right. by the way, that was it. They just had those two. He doesn't hire.
Yeah.
He doesn't. He is what he is. Right. He's a very look. If this was 2007. He'd be running the best damn offense we've seen.
Oh, my goodness.
Right? He'd be coaching up quarterbacks. He'd be coaching up the best Christian Ponders you've ever seen, right? Which is literally his quarterbacks. Yeah. Christian Ponders. That's what he rolls out.
Kellen Mond.
Well, I mean, like I said, I like that A&M fans are giving a lot more respect to Kellen Mond because they were like, that guy actually had to relearn how to be a quarterback and
pretty
actually
good.
Was pretty good at it.
Pretty good.
So, yeah, look, it'll be a fun thing to watch because we're going to see the real names emerge and we're like, that guy? There's going to be a couple of that guy and those names. Right. When you're A&M, and you can hire anybody. But then again, we also said that about a certain defensive coordinator hire. You can hire anybody, and you hired DJ Durkin. Yep. So, you know.
That's why Kendall Briles is not a name that's out of the mix.
Right, I was about to say. Yeah, I won't say it. It's fine. Anyway, let's move on to our actual segment.
Smart man.
Also, I think it's worth mentioning, too, that the North Texas Athletic Director, Ren Baker, has accepted a job to be the athletic director at West Virginia.
Yes.
So
that is
congratulations to him. That's awesome.
Yeah,
really,
that is
he did
a
wonders
big
at
bit
North
of news.
Texas, and that's really cool for him. So.
Yeah, that's going to be a not easy seat to fill because that's a guy who helped an indoor get built. He's brought, men's basketball, football, softball, like their programs are all on a rise right now. That's a good hire from West Virginia, I'll tell you that much, because they're a program in need of some stability. So, that's going to be something to watch. And also, obviously we're kind of set on Seth Luttrell's future right now, but typically new AD, he's not exactly wedded to head coaches when they come in. Obviously, he's fine for now. I think
next year
right,
would
next
be
year is when it starts to get a little interesting.
Right.
Right? It could be like they could be 7-5 and be fine again, but new hires, new administration typically is when you start to see you know,
changes in
changes,
staffs,
right? They want their guy, right? And so they want to put their stamp on. And football is typically how you do that.
But
so.
it won't be anything that happens this cycle, because whoever replaces Wren's going to be hired way too late to start all that.
Right.
Everything 100%. Would be, you know. So if it wasn't already guaranteed, which it was. It is now.
Yep.
Yeah. All right.
Good bit of a cap off. News dropped about noon or so today. So
Mallory,
let's get into our games.
Football.
We have some football games. Our last, I guess, quote unquote, regular season games.
Yeah, we only have two. Can you believe we've made it to this point?
Ooh.
That's crazy to me. Crave and I were talking about this last night. We were like, feels like we were just in El Paso. Like a week ago.
Right?
Enjoying some L&J's Cafe.
Now
and
back here.
Talking to Taylor Bryan at North Texas.
Now we're in Louisville.
Yes. Now we are. We are sitting in a
Why'd
very,
you say with that tone,
We are
Mike
sitting
Craven?
in a hot, rat-infested studio right now. But we have rats, by the way. They're everywhere. So if you don't see the Rutgers beanbag, the rat chewed through the Rutgers beanbag. So there's that.
Yeah,
but
we don't have a Rutgers beanbag.
Rutgers beanbag. So, anyways.
It thought it stood R for rat. It's my beanbag, you know? Listen, I'm from the country. This mouse stuff doesn't bother me.
I was like, no, it doesn't. But we're also on the second floor, so
I don't
even
know how we like, got in here.
Logistically,
but,
I don't know how that works.
Roofs.
Yeah, I guess so.
I guess.
It jumped. Like, from there's a tree right there. I
dude,
guess it jumped anyway.
Those things are athletes.
Yeah. Enough about our rodent infestation in the studio.
Yeah. Anyways, let's get on to why we're actually here. Let's talk about the first and the second to last, I guess, championship preview. The Big 12 championship is happening this Saturday at 11 a.m. TCU taking on Kansas State in Arlington, I believe, at AT&T Stadium, Jerry World. TCU coming in as 2.5-point favorites. The over-under is set at 62. And Craven, you're going to be there.
I will be there. Second meeting between these two teams. TCU won the first one 38-28 on October 22nd. That was the big comeback victory. Kansas State up 28-10 in the first half. Adrian Martinez, Will Howard go out. TCU makes a roaring comeback. I was at the press conference on Tuesday with Sonny Dykes. And what I found interesting is he talked as a head coach, this will be the first time he's prepared for an opponent twice. Even as an assistant, he kind of harkened back on the Navarro college days of the last time he's really had to do it, because in the JUCO level, you end up, you know, seeing a different team. You're seeing the same team in a conference championship game as you see regularly. I think Oklahoma as an analyst in 2017 when he was at TCU is another example of that. But it's a unique situation, and it's odd because they played just enough far away to where you can't take a lot of that stuff in. Their offense is completely different. That's the game where Adrian Martinez went down. So now that offense has been geared more to what Will Howard does well. But he did talk about how it kind of becomes a chess match a little bit. You know the plays that worked well the first time, and you know that other team's going to really work on, you know, eliminating those type of plays. So do you add some motion and different formations to get that play off? In the same way, and so that chess match is going to be interesting to watch. And then the other part of this is, can TCU lose this game and still make the college football playoff?
Yeah,
and it feels
it's
like they're
super
right
intriguing.
There. It's going to be it's if it's a close game, I think they're in.
Mm-hmm.
If they
too.
Get blown out, I think Ohio State gets in or Alabama or something like that. And so it's interesting that the Big 12 championship game was created because TCU was left out without having one, and it could be the thing that demises them. You know, this year, and that's just how college football goes. But what's interesting to me is, like, it doesn't feel too big for these guys.
Right.
Like, it's almost like it's a dream, and they're not even really, like, fully taking it in yet for the pressure to get on them.
Sure.
You know, like, playing for a Big 12 championship is enough pressure. Mm-hmm.
They get to stay home.
It's above their expectations already. Yeah. So they're playing with free money. Anybody who's been to a casino and won big, you know, like the pressure goes away when it's not your money. And so it does feel like they've taken that kind of feel to this, and it sounded like a team that's pretty loose and ready to go play this football game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I do know that Deuce Vaughn was battling some injury last time as well. Quentin Johnston's been battling injury recently. So, like, that's going to be kind of an offensive, I won't say swing in Kansas State's favor, but obviously that's a different dynamic heading into this one. I do like it's interesting point about the playoff, because that was a big discussion when you saw Alabama, Ohio State at 5 and then Alabama at 6, I believe. And everybody kind of penciled this game in before Ohio State lost to, like, okay, if TCU loses, then who are they going to bump in, right? Mm-hmm. Who are they going to – after that loss – granted, it's people picking, so like they could just make up whatever logic and right. do it anyway.
It's an invitational.
Right, exactly. It's an invitational. Yeah. So like they could literally just do it anyway. If they wanted, TCU could win this game, and then literally they could be like, yeah, but sure. Ohio State goes. Right, but obviously, you know, if they win, they're so more or less in, more than guaranteed. But yeah, the idea of like this TCU team that's been counted out every single week, right? It's like, when's it going to end? When's Max Duggan going to have the quote-unquote Max Duggan game, right? Mm-hmm. When's Sonny Dykes going to turn into November Sonny, right? That was, there's literally all these narratives that kept going on with this TCU team, and they just won. They just continue to win, find different ways. Quentin Johnson's out, doesn't matter. You know, we'll figure out guys, Savion Williams, somebody, well, Tate Barber will come in and just, like, turn the offense around in a different way. Oh, the offense is working? Okay, the defense will make a play here and there. We'll lean on the running game this week. We'll lean on Kendre Miller, things like that. And so I don't know. This one's going to be – it's hard to have a pick because Kansas State had them on the ropes in that first game, right?
100%.
And so now that they're fully kind of realizing that Will Howard style of offense as opposed to the dual threat kind of with Adrian Martinez, what does it look like? I don't know. I will say TCU's also coming off their best performance of the year. Mm-hmm. So, like, that's something as well. So I feel like we're getting both teams similarly at their peak. Obviously, Kansas State's not 100% healthy, but still, they're still looked really good the past couple weeks as well.
To that point, is TCU healthy?
No, absolutely not.
No.
Right? I mean, no, absolutely not.
And nobody is at this stage of the year, but TCU's disadvantage is that their bye week was way back in week three.
For sure.
You know,
so
they've played 8-9 weeks of football straight in a row. The good thing, though, is that they blew out Iowa State last week in a fashion that allowed Kendre Miller and a few other guys to get some rest.
Mm-hmm.
And Kendre at the press conference yesterday says he feels, you know, of course he's going to say this, but he says he feels better this week than he has in about a month.
Sure.
You know, and Quentin Johnston, you know, Sonny Dykes said the same thing about him because they were able to throttle them back a little bit. And so maybe that plays in a factor. But you would just imagine that the stakes carry you through.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know,
right.
Like, I did a story on Travius Hodges-Thomason yesterday. And if you look back at it, he's gone 5-7, 6-4, 5-7 in his college career, right?
Yeah.
I mean, they're basically a 500 team since they've been there. They're 12-0 and on the doorstep of doing something no other program in the state has done before. I don't think they're feeling anything.
Sure.
No.
You know, you could hit them with a bat, and I'm not sure that they would feel it because they're just – you don't get – this is what you do it for.
Right.
Yeah. Like, this is what you dream about since you're 3 years old. If you got to suck up a couple injuries and do it, you know, difference between hurt and injured. You know,
yeah,
and,
for sure.
And, but, yeah, I just think it's one of those where, you know, I think on Sunday it'll really hit them.
Yeah.
But right now it's just such a big deal that they're numb
feel
to
it. You know, it's crazy, too. When my dad and I watched the Michigan State-Penn State game this weekend,
Michigan. Sorry.
Yeah, Michigan State and Penn State. You know, Michigan State's already been riddled with injuries all year. I kid you not, there are at least six guys that went down from Michigan State. And I'm like – They're just done.
Mm-hmm.
They don't care. They're just done. But then when you look at a team like TCU and they've got injuries, but they're still willing to get out there and play. I mean, we were on like our third string everything in the Michigan State game. It's obvious that like they have something to play for, you know, and like these injuries are not going to affect them as much as it would against a team that just doesn't have anything to play for. It's a mindset, too, I think.
Yeah,
absolutely.
And somebody like a Quentin Johnston who – you know, is having the breakout year that literally we've been waiting for him to have, right? Every year you looked at that TCU team and said, yeah, if they can get Quentin Johnston involved, this offense is awesome. And they never did, right? And now we're finally starting – I'm trying to find his career numbers. 400 yards, 2020, 487. Last year, 612. This year, 764, right? And he's missed games this year, right?
Yeah,
and so,
crazy.
Like, the fact that he's at a career high, probably could be approaching close to 1,000 if he plays the entire year. Like, he's having the – so, yeah, obviously he's going to be trying to get back. And like Mallory said, if they were going to the whatever bowl, like,
he'd already be declared.
I was about to say, I'm out. All right,
he'd be
thanks.
Tyree Wilson.
Right.
Yeah.
Except, you know, Tyree Wilson, you know, is kind of probably actually here. But you know what I'm saying.
Well, I mean, so is Quentin.
True.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, I get what you mean. He wouldn't be, like, trying to rehab.
Right.
And,
There's no reason to hurry yourself back when you got an NFL future.
Exactly.
Right.
So
unless you're playing for national championships.
These stakes exactly. So, yeah, for his sake, I hope he can because he deserves this platform. He's been talked about as, like, one of the top three, five receivers in the country.
And they're just better with him on the field even if he's not doing anything because you have to pay attention to
him. It's what I like to call the in certain situations, what Gavin Hardison had last year at UTEP, the F it ball.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's like, nobody's F it. Quentin Johnson, right? Yep. It's like, doesn't matter. He's covered, F it. Like, right. I'm under pressure, whatever. Like, it's just, you just throw the ball down there, and there you go. Boom. He's right there. He's 6'4", 6'5", can bully ball anybody. It's good to go. So
yeah. Can out-jump anybody on the field.
So, yeah, exactly. I hope we get to see him at least one more time. Hopefully two, three more times. We'll
and
see.
All that said,
yeah.
It's going to come down to how they tackle Deuce Vaughn.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. 100%. Deuce Vaughn is, yeah. He's
that good. Like, he can change this game, and it's not just out of the backfield running the football. It's out of the backfield catching the football. Chris Kleiman and that group does such a good job of getting him the ball in different circumstances and different coverages and different positions. That's the thing TCU is most worried about going into Saturday.
Yeah. What was the over-under on this one?
It was 62.
Take the over. I would take the over.
You think so?
I think so. I don't know. I'm not the gambling expert. Yeah. I would take the over.
I'm stumped on this one.
Really?
Like, I don't know.
I think indoors, I think this game was, what, 38-28 last time?
Yep.
Yeah. I would say take the over.
Yeah.
I really would.
Mm-hmm. All right.
I like it. Ish's corner.
Let's go.
Ish's corner. We got to think of a better name, though. Craven's corner, it just flows so well.
We'll workshop it.
We'll workshop it during the offseason. We don't have time for that right now. Anyway, let's get on to our last conference championship preview. Another rematch. UTSA playing North Texas at the Alamo Dome this Friday at 6:30. You can watch it on CBS SN. And UTSA coming in as 8.5-point favorites. The over-under is set at 69. Nice.
Yeah.
I can't feel my chest on this one.
is it
like
that?
This feels like the biggest game, you know, just because of the rivalry and all that kind of stuff. The last, you know, it's going to be harder to win conference championships in the American.
This feels like Ollie Frazier.
Yeah.
Like the styles, like Jordan, like UNT's Frazier, right. And then UTSA's like I think I just imagine Frank Harris in the boxing ring. And so it's like, yeah, Frank Harris is kind of like dodging everything and like trying to wiggle his way out of against that pass rush, things like that. No,
I just got off the phone with him.
Really?
Because we're doing We're doing a story because Austin Ani and Frank Harris combined is 52 years old, which, according to my research, is the oldest ever quarterback matchup in college football. It's even more than like Winky Heupel and stuff like that. So
that's wild.
He was pretty excited about it. He was like, well, that's mostly because of the other side. You know?
He made sure to throw that.
He was like, I'm not even that old.
I'm
going to
make sure I'm not that. I'm a grad.
I'm 23. You know, like I'm the appropriate age for
a
redshirt quarterback.
That's incredible.
But, I mean, this game, you go back and watch it, and that 8.5-point spread feels too much.
Right.
You know, North Texas beat down UTSA at the end of last year. They were right there, 15 seconds away from winning this game earlier in the year in San Antonio, so playing in the Alamo Dome is not going to impact this team. Austin Ani had over 300 yards in that game. Frank Harris had over 300 yards of total offense in that game because he ran for 75. The thing was, though, that North Texas, who's usually a pretty good running football team, had 22 yards rushing on, 21 carries?
Something like that.
Averaged about a yard a carry, and so I would imagine the Mean Green are excited to prove that they are a more physical football team and better at running the football than they showed in that.
Yeah.
UTSA is going to have to be prepared. And then it's just, you know, if you're the Roadrunners, you just got to hope. You just drag them into deep water and hope Frank Harris has the ball last because, you know, history suggests that if Frank Harris has the ball last with a chance to win, UTSA might as well pick up the trophy.
Right. I think, to me, for UTSA, the pressure comes with obviously being the favorite, but like this could cement this brief run, this 2-year run, as like one of the best group of five runs we've seen like in the past couple years. Like outside of like UCF, right? Like literally vying for a national title under Scott Frost and all that. Like you're looking at this UTSA squad among any of the runs, right? Because if you win this game, you're 12-2 and then 11-2 going into a bowl, right? Yeah. 2 years. That's stupid insane. That's stupid insane for a group.
They have like the fifth or sixth best record over the last 2 years of anybody. It's like Georgia, Ohio State, UTSA.
And if they lose this game, they'll still have that record, but it is a little bit diminished because it's like, remember when we lost the conference title, though? Remember?
Yeah.
this is like a legacy game for a lot of these guys, for a Frank Harris, right? Because if this is his last game, right? Remember, he did participate in senior day activities. Yep. So if this is his last game, boom, sail into the sunset, right? Mm-hmm. Statue's going to get built right outside that facility soon, you know, soon after he leaves.
Yeah, I already put $100 on that.
Exactly. He's going to have Mike Craven on his shoulder pad or whatever, the little inscription. Yeah.
He can all NIL him.
There you go.
Get him back for another year.
Yeah, there you go, right, exactly. Just bring him back. But this is a legacy game for this program,
100%.
Right? 100%. And if you're UNT, this is a hold on. Just a couple years ago, we were this program, right? This is a pride. Like, in addition to a championship, this is a pride for UNT because UTSA just came in and just, like, stole the thunder from UNT, who was this program a couple years ago when Seth Luttrell was fending off Kansas State for a head coaching job, right? And so there's so much in this game, right? There's the rivalry. There's the intrastate thing, even if you just take away the rivalry. Just two Texas schools in general, two head coaches who are completely different styles, two play styles, two legacy. Like, I don't know. There's so many storylines in this game. Alamo Dome's going to be insane. Yeah, like, we thought last year was going to be awesome.
Right. This one's going
to
be good.
I was about to
say,
this one's going to be even wilder because UNT is going to bring a party down as well.
Right.
It's
at a Friday night.
Oh,
you know,
that's a good point.
It's gonna be fun. It's not on stadium.
I'm so
you know
excited.
What's wild? We thought UTSA would be here.
Sure.
This North Texas team was 1-5.
Yeah.
Last year.
Yeah. That's wild.
I've said this before, so I don't mind saying it. I wrote a Seth Luttrell fired from North Texas story
after the Marshall game
in the press box of the Marshall game.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Because that's how bad it was.
Yep.
Flash forward,
couple games
14 months.
Man,
they're playing for a conference championship.
They're playing for a conference USA championship. Mm. I don't know if enough can be said of the job Seth Luttrell and those guys have done to keep that locker room together and to come out on the other side of it. It's just frankly impressive. There's no other way to put it.
And Austin Ani, like we talk about,
the
work he's put in, right? Like, because every year, Seth Luttrell can say, he was my guy. And he brought in quarterbacks every offseason since Mason Vine left. Every single offseason. He brought in Grant Gunnell this past year. He brought in, I forgot the guy a couple years ago, J.D. Head.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he brought in three this offseason. Stone Earl.
Yeah, he wanted to have some guy knock him off, right? But he just didn't. None of those guys could beat him out. And now, at the time, you know, when they were getting pummeled by UNLV, maybe it was like, oh, maybe there's time to make a change. But as the season went along, you're like, oh, no, this guy's just actually improved and, like, actually a really good quarterback. And the running game is just stellar. They have playmakers on the outside now. Yeah. The defense is ferocious at times. Like, this is going to be wild. And now UTSA is a little healthier, right? Obviously, compared to that week that they played, that was
yes, they are more healthy than they were.
That was Frank Harris pulling a rabbit out of his hat. Yeah. This one's definitely a full, I'm not full, but like, you know, as full healthy as probably anybody is at this time of year, going against each other. And this might be like, again, we can talk about the Big 12 title game. I don't know. This is probably the conference championship I'm looking most forward to.
Two Texas teams,
but even out of the whole weekend. Right, because I'm not looking forward to I don't know who's playing in the Big Ten championship. Northwestern, Michigan, and Purdue. Could not have lowered my expectation anymore than you just did by naming Purdue.
Well, I tweeted too before after the Michigan game. I was like, that's unfortunate for them. They got to play an unranked opponent in the the Ohio State game was their peak, and now they're just.
But like,
there's no expectation.
There's no other outside of TCU and Kansas State. I'm just not interested in
the SEC. Is not going to be interesting. Georgia and LSU, right?
I think Georgia's going to
Georgia's going to roll them. Yeah,
I think so. Which it might be fun if you're into prospects and talent and all that. But as far as stylistically, talent wise, equaling each other,
definitely.
Right? Legacy, all that stuff rolled into one. I think this is to me, this is my college football, right? This is my idea of what I love about the sport. Yeah. So
this
I'll be
game,
there too.
This
so.
Game is a very Republic of football.
It is.
G5.
Yes.
this is a very on brand Republic of football thing.
The only thing we need is the winner plays Rice.
El Paso.
In El Paso. Oh, man.
Casey Keeler goes to the winner, you know, or something. I am heartbroken because I won't be there.
Yeah, you're going to be because
the
Big 12 title
it's
decided
the next
to,
morning.
Yeah.
You know, if it was 2:30, if the Big 12 thing was 2:30 the next day, I'd probably go.
Isn't it usually at night? I guess one of the Big 12 title games usually at night.
I think it's because game day is going to be there, and there's so many, there's so much stakes to this. Like, I know fans like the prime time, but the TV stations like the noon.
Right.
You know, like, they get better ratings there because people go out and have fun at night. Not me, but other people I hear do stuff on Saturday. And I missed the Conference USA Championship game for UTSA last year because I was dying with the cold.
Right.
And so I have still yet to see my alma mater play for a conference title, despite getting paid to watch my alma mater play football. So tough break for me.
Yeah.
I'll send you some picks.
I hate you right now, Mallory.
Yeah, Mallory. I'm so excited. Mallory will be in the building for that one. So.
Which is good for UTSA, because last time Mallory was in the building to watch UTSA North Texas, Frank Harris happened in 15 seconds left. So
you want to know the two UTSA games that I've seen this year was the – or I guess in my lifetime, I've seen two.
Oh, yeah.
It was when they lost to Houston and when they lost to North Texas.
Oh, my goodness.
No, you were there when they beat North Texas, too, right? Or no, you didn't go to that, did you? Mm-mm. Oh, man.
Oh, so she's putting the hex.
Man,
she's putting the hex.
0-2. UTSA is 0-2 with Mallory Hartley there.
She's putting the hex on them, man.
You know, though, it's even though I'm a North Texas fan, like, Pickle and I have talked about this, like, I love UTSA too. Jeff Traylor, Frank Harris. It's been so fun to watch them this whole season.
I need him to leave because I can't hate this program.
I know. I'm trying to go into this game as a neutral college football loving fan. I think that's my mindset going into this game. It's going to be good.
I think it's going to be a great game.
Yeah. As a Texas State fan, I need him to go because it's not.
You ain't have anyone to watch this weekend.
He's too nice of a guy and he's too good of a coach for me to dislike UTSA.
I know. You can't.
And Frank Harris, too. I can't. Who hates that smile? Come on now. That guy's great.
That's true. That's true.
I love it.
You know what Frank Harris told me today?
Yeah.
He gets really nervous presenting to class. And I found that to
be so
adorable. He was like, with a helmet on in front of 30,000 people, not bothered at all.
Yeah.
20 people and I got to give him presentation.
Class, yeah.
My hands start sweating and all that. That was great.
He's got to send like Katie Davis after him in the middle of class. And he'll just start like giving that presentation flawlessly.
God, that's so good. That would
just
be the greatest.
Running in a circle in front of class.
God, that would have been such a great Conference USA commercial.
Oh, I know, right?
Oh,
that's
man.
So good.
Conference USA, come on now.
Holler at your boy.
We had some ideas. Come on now.
That's
or I guess
so
AAC
good.
Now would be.
I was going to say, isn't that kind of funny that like the two teams playing the Conference USA championship are not going to be
do you think? Do you think the commissioner is just going to leave it on the field and have whoever pick it up?
She basically did that last year.
I was about to say,
basically did that to Traylor last year, so this time she made us walk out the building. You know?
It's in my car still. Like, she just tells whoever it's in the car.
I forgot it at home, man.
It's all
good. It's
fine. Go pick it up.
Yeah, that's so good. We'll mail it to you.
Yeah, literally.
I'll be down the road at Alamo Stadium, so hopefully I'll be able to hear the roar from
that's a nice best stadium in South
Alamo
Texas,
stadium
man.
Gorgeous,
it's awesome.
So.
Dripping Springs and Austin Vandegrift?
No, that's in Gupton in Austin. This is Cal Allen and Bernie?
Oh.
I think.
Okay, nice.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Still
I'm
a good game, yeah.
But, yeah, I'll be looking forward to hearing the roar from whatever fan base emerges from that. So, yeah.
We'll see.
If it's UTSA, it'll be a lot of honking.
I was about to say,
that's
gonna be
what
a lot,
we do when we win.
It's going to be the honking.
It's like the Spurs,
there.
You know, we honk a lot. We like to drive around and honk.
Yeah.
We just caw very loudly.
You do that anyway.
Yeah, that happens when y'all. I was hearing that when y'all were 1-5.
Right.
You're right. Good point.
All right. While we're on UNT, Mallory Hartley, what do we got with one last thing?
So, last night, a couple of us went to an event. It was the North Texas Coaches Show at Rudy's Barbecue to present an award to head coach Seth Luttrell. And I will get into that award. Dave Campbell's Texas Football is proud to honor North Texas with the first ever True Texan Team Award. This award recognizes the team with the highest percentage of Texas high school football players currently on their roster. And for the 2022 season, the Mean Green claimed the top spot out of all 12 FBS programs in Texas with 78%. UTSA and Texas were tied for second on that list. We at Dave Campbell's Texas Football are all about Texas, and this award means a great deal to us because it not only combines Texas high school football and college football, but it also recognizes the significance of keeping players at home. And with that being said, congratulations to the North Texas Mean Green once again for being honored with the True Texan Team Award presented by Dave Campbell's Texas Football. And as you can see there, that was right after the coaches show. We all threw up the talons except our good old friend Mike Craven over there.
Mike Craven, why didn't you throw up the talons?
Produce to present.
Because I have journalistic integrity.
Good Lord. Good Lord.
If anybody can find a picture of me working with the UTSA sign up, I'll take that back, but I don't do that either.
That's fair. That's
it's a good picture, though, right?
It is a good picture. That's I look short because Rob's next to me.
Literally.
All 6'3" of them.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was kind of a cool. We did that, and Rudy, you know, we calculated the numbers. We actually did that for every single 12 FBS program, of course.
Not we.
And
I was about to say, you could take credit for that.
Well, yeah.
Toot your own horn.
You, Mallory Hartley, counted all these damn rosters and put together the numbers.
Four times.
Yes.
Four, I did. Four.
Take some credit for that. Right. That's not fun work.
No.
I crunched the numbers, and Rudy came up with the great idea to actually – you know, present this as an award to North Texas. So we ended up doing that last night. But I did make a graphic as well of all 12, where all 12 of the FBS programs do stand. So we'll go ahead and throw that up right now.
Sorry. Shout out to Salesman Rudy for that idea.
Yeah.
Did you hear about this?
No.
So this is the best part of what happened last night, in my opinion. Mallory's on live radio, and they put her on the spot. They, like, kept asking her questions. She had had her prepared statement. She had done her thing. She was ready to be done, and they, like, kept peppering her. And one of the things was, like, introduce us to all the Dave Campbell's people
that
are here.
Okay, that was the last question.
Yeah.
I was fine on all the other questions. Like, all the other questions, I was like, boom, I got this. The last question, I was like.
Because, like, who remembers everybody's title?
What is Rudy's title?
You know, and all that kind of stuff. So he goes, hey, this is one of our salesmen, Rudy. You know, another one of our salesmen, Rob. And it was just like, I was crying.
I felt so bad.
No, it was hilarious.
Because I just blanked really quick.
So
I blanked. And then I couldn't say Rob's title because I didn't say Rudy's title.
Right.
So I was just like, Two great salesmen, Rob and Rudy.
It was so good.
It was good.
It was
Anyways.
So good. It was the laugh we all needed.
That is excellent.
It was
Mallory,
fun.
You're a gem. You're a gem.
I was like blushing. I was like, oh, man. I'm going to walk back there and be like, man, you're fired.
Yeah,
like,
I was about to say, they walk back and like,
by the way, your job title is unemployed.
That's literally what I thought was going to happen. I was like,
Salesman Rudy is firing unemployed Mallory.
I just screwed this up for myself so bad.
It was so great.
Anyway,
it was
thank you to North Texas for hosting us. That was
awesome.
That was really, really cool.
I got text messages right away from other coaches like, hey, what is this? You know, because in this state, you know, jokes aside, in this state, we take a lot of pride
100%.
In producing high school talent, but keeping it in the state. There is nothing worse, in my opinion, than like turning on a Big Ten football game and watching guys that we used to cover
Jackson,
on a,
Smith and Jigma,
you know, and it's like, man, how did, like, we got football here. Like, this is why TCU may become the first team in the state to go to the college football playoff, because a lot of our best players leave the state.
Right.
And so I think it's cool. It's a cool visual,
just
without the award, just to kind of see, and it makes sense. It puts some stuff in perspective. UTEP.
Right.
Is last on the list.
Well, they're also way over there.
They're
right?
in El Paso, and they do a lot of JUCO recruiting, so that makes sense. Rice is second to last on the list. Well, they have a different academic standard than everybody else has, so that makes a little bit of sense. I was surprised Texas was number two on the list, just because they nationally recruit so much. I wasn't so surprised A&M is middle of the pack because they nationally recruit so much. You can also see where some new coaches are probably going to fix some stuff, right?
Right.
You know, like Texas Tech is going to move up. On that list. You know, I was surprised it was 72% considering
Matt Wells's
you know, reputation of not recruiting in the state so much. And so I think it's going to be a fun thing to watch move over the years and see how it adjusts, who goes up, who goes down, who stays flat. And it was fun to see Texas State care about it and promote it. North Texas. Sorry, everything in my life right now is
about
Texas
State.
Just
coaching
State. North Texas, you know, kind of embrace it and enjoy it and put it out there on their social media channels. It's a cool thing.
And also Oklahoma lifer getting in. Right?
Yeah.
Seth Luttrell recruiting the state better than anybody.
Yeah.
Right?
He said he was going to take it to coaching school and just put it down, you know, just like drop it.
There you go.
And
like
Adam was like, make it a medallion and just wear it around, you know?
Fantastic.
And so like, I just want to see Seth Luttrell walking around San Antonio Convention Center with that true Texan team award hanging around his neck.
Oh, that's awesome.
I'm really excited because I think seeing how much traction this award got, I'm really excited to kind of make this one of the things that we do here every single year, you know. No. Not excited I have to crunch the numbers again next year, but the result is great, you know. You know, you got to do the work to get the result. So
yeah. That was your reward for doing the work, is finding out that you could present in North Texas this year.
Yeah.
So there you go. That was your
call our salesman instead of by their actual title. Yeah. So that was great.
All right. Was that do it for today, guys?
Yeah.
I think so.
Cool. With that being said, we have interviewed 12 of the eventual 13 FBS head coaches. Please, Jimbo Fisher, you need an offensive coordinator, man. We got names. We got a Rolodex. Mike Craven has numbers. We can hook you up, man. What's one phone call away? Please, just don't hire a yes man. Hire somebody. Go get a Cliff Kingsbury. He might need a job soon. Who knows? That'd be great, right?
That would be fun.
That'd be awesome. Do that, please. I don't know. That's where we can't help you. We don't have his number. But, you know, you should hire him anyway.
Jake Spavadal does.
Jake Spavadal does. Hire Jake Spavadal, too. I don't know, man. Come on now. Keep him in the state. I want Jake Spavadal to stay around. Please, give us a call. And I don't have the beanbag because the rat ate it. But go Rutgers. Great season.